Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he speaks to us by his Son. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And then he also said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" During the time of Jesus, people held various beliefs about his identity. Some saw him as John the Baptist, others Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And those, indeed, are the qualities that resonated with Jesus Christ, qualities of the Old Testament figures. Jesus exhibited the compassion for the disobedient that Jeremiah had. He performed miracles like Elijah, and he preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins, like the teachings of John the Baptist. And the perceptions of people often aligned with what they found most helpful in Jesus and what they saw. And then we have the Pharisees and Sadducees. They too had preferences. There existed a preference for a Messiah who would conquer and assert dominion over the Romans. And then we have Peter's recognition that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And that reveals the true understanding of who Jesus is. The question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? That question, my brothers and sisters, is not confined in the past. It's still relevant to our present because many still fashion a version of Jesus tailored to their desire. Some of us, or some, see Jesus as a simple friend, one who ignores sins, offering an effortless path to eternal life without forgiveness of sins. Some fall for the gospel of prosperity and settle for a Jesus who gives material things to reward them in this earthly life. And then others accentuate Jesus' teachings of love and acceptance. And then there are some who take Jesus as a moral guide to live compassionately and justly, almost as if they could replicate what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And then there are those who see social justice-oriented groups who focus on humanitarian services Jesus. And in the middle of these interpretations, they have a customizable Jesus. The true essence of Jesus often becomes obscured in these people's mind, and it could be in ours as well. For please know that Jesus is not merely a passive friend who endorses our sin, is more than a mere mirror of our wants, or a mere reflection of our preferences. Is not a pick and choose what your Messiah would be, as the Pharisees and Sadducees desired. Jesus is much more than all than these. And most of us know that these views are wrong. The consequences of these misconceptions can lead to the rejection and denial of the true nature of Christ and what he does for us. Pharisees and Sadducees were in the business of false teachings and rejection of Jesus Christ, and they were good at it. So it is that Jesus Christ warned them, they warned the disciples about the Pharisees and the Sadducees' teachings prior to Peter's confession. So now for us, let's be honest for a moment. Within each of us, there exists a silent Pharisee. Sometimes you put on the mindset of these people. the mindset of self-righteousness, and sometimes we end up acting like them. You know, they thought that they were better than everyone else, and they like to show it. So imagine putting on a fancy outfit of self-righteousness and then use the strict rules of the law to judge others. The Pharisees would be happy if Jesus punished those who lived in sin in their time. But the thing is, we, all of us, we live in sin. And that's why we need a Savior. And we need the Son of the living God, the Son of Man in the book of Daniel, the suffering servant prophesied in the book of Isaiah. That person, that Christ, that Messiah, he gives life for all to satisfy the wrath of God. So it is that the life of Jesus Christ is exchanged for your life. So we hear this. God's law humbles us. So St. Paul is right when he says, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment. Therefore, we need to remember that Jesus told us the way the Pharisees pray. Jesus told us not to pray like them, for they exalted themselves while looking down on the sin of others. In our life, it's all too easy to fall into this trap of selective sin. You ever noticed, sometimes you only notice someone when they mess up, and we point fingers and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. But guess what? We are all as bad as them. We all deserve the temporal and eternal punishment of God, and our sins is as bad as any other sins without a Christ, without a Messiah, without the Holy Spirit who can guide us and then sanctify us. Sin is sin. And the wage of sin for the things we have done and the things we have left undone is death. And because we fail to love God above all things, we fail to trust Him, and we fail to fear Him. That's the same thing as making up the own version of the Jesus that we want. It's like thinking that Jesus would like where we're at, where we are only half good. Since we also miserably failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. So in our day-to-day, what do we think? Do we look for a Jesus to justify our particular sins? Some are okay and some not. Jesus will just brush off it. Or do we look for a Jesus who would justify us as a whole, justify the sinner? For the problem is, rather than seeking a Jesus to justify us as a sinner, we often find ourselves seeking for a Jesus who justifies our sin. It's natural for our sinful self to desire a Savior who aligns with our preferences, someone who accommodates our choices without condemning our thoughts, words, and deeds. Some of us want a Jesus who affirms our lifestyle, who offers a sense of spirituality and holiness while allowing us to remain comfortable in our sins and our sinful ways. Jesus is not someone who encourages just a certain sins. Jesus did not come to condone our sins and to act as a rubber stamp of our desires. Instead, he came to rescue us from the darkness of sin and lead us to the light of righteousness. The Jesus we have, he exposes our sinfulness, not to condemn us, but to offer redemption. So what is it, brothers and sisters, that you're trying to make right in your heart? What is it? For a repentant heart typically long for a Savior who offers unmerited forgiveness and grace. Yet, in our misguided attempts, we run the risk of creating a version of Jesus who accommodates for something particular and not the true Christ who comes to save the sinner as a whole. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." In other words, Jesus is saying, "Simon, you are saved." And those words are also for you as you are here this morning. The words, blessed are you for you are saved. Even though your name is not Peter, you are part of this church, the church of Christ, and you belong to his body. You are here, a living stone of the church of the living God. And you are saved through the Messiah, whose mission is to be rejected by the chief priest and the elders, to be crucified and die for you on the cross, but also rise again on the third day. So let us remember that the true Jesus, the Son of Man, extend his love and his mercy in this way, not by overlooking your sin, but by fully atoning for them, which means forgiving them on the cross. He justifies us as helpless sinners in need of his grace, not as individuals whose list of sin should be justified. His purpose was not to uphold your sinful ways, but to redeem you from them. Therefore, he willingly accepted the agony of the cross to reconcile you with the Father. So in other words, Jesus is not an accessory for our desire, but the answer to our deepest need, and our deepest need is this, forgiveness. So save your intellect and understanding for the things of this world, and find comfort in the Father's delight to reveal to you his Son. Scripture teaches that Jesus does not come from a mere human imagination or a personal interpretation or personal opinion of some leaders, but rather Jesus is God's own revelation that he unveils in front of us in his word. So again, in verse 17 in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus responds to Peter's confession by saying, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." This means it's the Father's good pleasure to enlighten your heart and mind with the truth, and the true identity of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I are not left to wander in confusion or rely on our limited perceptions, but because through Scripture and the proclamation of the gospel, the Father graciously reveals his holiness and divine mercy to us. In other words, as we, this morning and during the week, immerse ourselves in God's word and partake in the eating and drinking bread and wine and body and blood, we find comfort in knowing that our understanding is not based on human reason, but on the divine revelation granted by the Father. So what a joy this morning that the weight of the what is preached here is not on the pastor's thought or intellect or the vicar's thought or intellect, but it rests on the bedrock of God's word. Therefore, there is no room for a customizable Jesus or a Jesus crafted by our imaginations, but instead, we have the divine truth in God's word. So I ask you again, who do you say Jesus is? Rejoice in the words of Jesus when he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we have repented at the beginning of this service, and we have confessed our sins, and we are indeed forgiven here at Wheatridge Lutheran Church and also there in heaven. So to Jesus alone be all the glory. Amen. Please rise.